sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Are we on now? Hey, praise the Lord. No. No. Well, God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And before we look into the scripture tonight, we had a prayer request come in. And Sister Milka, I believe, called. And she got a text from Sister Johnny's daughter. And Sister Johnny's not doing real well right now. And she's having problems with her lungs. And humanly speaking, medically speaking, it may not be long. But, you know, our God is an on-time God. He's got everything in control. And so we don't have to worry about anything, because we just put everything in His hands. And thank God we've got someone to turn to in times of uncertainty, and whatever comes, I'm so glad I've got one to run to, I can lean on.
Hallelujah.
And you know, there's one thing about Sister Johnny, she always had a testimony. Amen. She knew who her Savior was. She knew who God was. She had a testimony, what the Word had done for her. And you know, she was always ready to go. And we don't know if this is her time or not. Only God knows that. But we're going to hold her up in prayer. Amen. And so before we read the scripture tonight, and we're just going to lift Sister Johnny up and remember her. And, you know, you look at somebody like Sister Johnny, and, you know, no matter how down she was, or, you know, we went and seen her in the hospital and rehab and different things, and, boy, she's always upbeat. I mean, she and she just, you know, you couldn't talk to Sister Johnny because she's going to talk to you.
Right.
It's like you went to encourage her, and she's going to encourage you.
That's right.
And I just really appreciate that about Amen. Sister Johnny. She really had a testimony and a love for the Lord.
Amen.
And so now, you know, we've been holding her up. We're just going to continue to hold her up because we know God's got all things in control. And He does all things perfect. Amen. So before we read the scripture tonight, let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author and pray for our sister. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that we're able to gather in your house. Lord, we gather with those of like precious faith. And Lord Jesus, you've heard the prayer request that's come in for our sister Johnny, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just hold her up in prayer, Lord. Lord, knowing that you're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, You're the healer. You're the great physician, Lord Jesus. And we just commit her into your hands at this time, Lord Jesus. We know that medical science can do all that they can, Lord, but we look to you because you're the final say in everything. And Father, we just pray that you just be with her and her family. Lord, just lift her up. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for her testimony, what she's meant to us. And Lord, we just continue to hold her up and believe that, Lord, that you're going to do your work. And Lord, we thank you for it, whatever it is, because we know that you do all things well. And Father, we just pray tonight as we look into the Word, Lord Jesus, you just come and speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that couldn't be with us tonight, Lord, the ones that are watching in, Lord, wherever they are. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands. And Lord, we just pray that you just come and speak to us and give us what we have need of. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 1. And tonight I want to title this, The Promise of His Coming. And begin at 2 Peter 3, begin at verse 1. And it says, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds in a way, by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In the heavens, which shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And I just want to look at this little thought, the promise of his coming. And one of the things I was looking at was Peter's writing here, and one of the things that he was talking about was the scoffers in the last days. And we see the condition that the world is in. And I really enjoyed what Brother Bob had to say Sunday. And that was really good, and really blessed me. But you look at the condition that the world is in today. And, now is the time for people to check up to see where they are, just like Brother Bob was saying. Now's the time, because people have gotten to the place where they really don't realize the condition and the hour, the condition they're in, but they don't realize the hour in which they're living. Right. And they don't. And so, as he was talking about, people just kind of float along or whatever, but they don't realize the seriousness, the lateness of the hour. And, so here's Peter writing, he's writing about the word that's been given, and he says, I want to stir up your pure minds in a way of remembrance. And he was talking about the word that they had been given, but also going back to the Old Testament, what the prophets had spoken, and looking back at what had been already spoken. But he wanted to bring this back, and see, all of this that had taken place, we knew how the scripture had come, but then he was saying that, you see, the word has went forth. But he said, knowing first that in the last days scoffers shall come walking after their own lusts. And so we realize, this is the day, an hour in which we live. We're living in that day. Right. And so today is the day that, it's a glorious time to live in, because the scripture was written for this day. Amen. The day and hour in which we live is the glorious day, because, you think about all of the prophets that had written all the things that Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets had written about, all the things that Paul and Peter and all the apostles and the different ones had spoke about. That's our day. Amen. And what a wonderful time to realize that this is the culmination of the plan of God, and we're living in the midst of it. And sometimes we fail to realize just how great a day that we're living in, and what a serious day that we're living in, and what a
a responsibility has been given to us, what an obligation has been given to us, because we are the ones that's to carry this on.
Amen.
All this has come to our day.
Yes. Right.
And you know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that God called you and I for this day. God called us for this day.
Yes,
this is the day. And you know, Brother Branham said, you know, he said, if I could pick a day, an hour in which to live, he said, I would want to live in this day.
Right.
And you know, as Brother Branham was talking about, you know, people say, oh, I want to live in Bible days. You can't get any more in the Bible today than the day that you're living in.
Right.
Because this is the day and hour in which the Bible is being fulfilled and it's coming to an end.
Right.
And we see, because if you can't see the day and hour and realize this is the end of the Gentile dispensation, because God is finishing with the Gentiles and he will soon turn to the Jews and bring them their message. This
That's
is the
right.
day, and it's a glorious day to live in, but it's also a fearful day. It's a dreadful day because people don't realize the day and hour in which they live.
Right.
But you know, as he was talking about, he said, you see, the scoffers would be in the last days. Brother Bram was speaking here in the rapture. He was talking about the prophets. He said, see, Peter was speaking of he said, in the last days, these scoffers would come saying these things. See, it's predicted the reason the people are acting today the way they're acting. He said, why, you certainly are expecting it, because the Bible said that in the last days, they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such turn away. He said, can we look for an impersonation of truth? Certainly. It's because that is the day, that hour in which we live, that you see that everybody has taken, they've heard the word, and they've taken the word of God, but they've made it of none effect. And that was the whole point all the way through. But we see how this is the day and hour which we live. And then, as they were speaking here, as the scoffers would say, they would say, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of the word that was given? And he said, because they said, well, since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. And it's just a continuation of the same thing. And your Brother Branham was talking of, you know, the people that heard the scripture. And, you know, he was talking about the man that, you know, talking about the, you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross. And, you know, he had a deal worked out with Pilate and, you know, all these type things that they just try to sow these seeds in and try to tell people that, you know, the scripture's not right. And, you know, there's all these little things that were said that didn't make any sense. But he said, see, that's what the critics are supposed to do.
Right.
He said, that's the day in which we're living. He said, they were scoffers. He said, that's the day to fulfill the prophecy. All those things that were taking place that he was talking about, those were fulfilling the prophecy of the day. Scoffers in the last days. He said to say they take the scripture, and he said there's no difference in the time than what it was. He said when our fathers fell asleep. He said, but you can see these things begin to happen. He said, raise up your head, get ready. Something could happen at any time. Christ come for his church. So you see these things that are taking place. Why? Because this is an end time sign that you're going to see these things taking place. And people are looking and they're wondering why. You know, they say, well, we're looking for the fulfillment of the scripture. We're trying to understand. Well, you know what? One of the fulfillments of the scripture is when scoffers come, because Brother Bram said, the scoffers coming and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And they're turning down the word. And he said, that is a fulfilling of the scriptures.
Right. Yeah.
So you're seeing a fulfillment of the scripture. He said, the people don't realize that doing these things and saying these things, they're fulfilling the scriptures. See, the thing is one day, because you and I, all of us are going to fulfill some part of the scripture. There's going to be a scripture that you're going to fulfill, because you're either going to believe the word, you're going to walk in the word, you're going to make the word manifest, or you're going to deny the word and fall and be left behind. Because only those that are walking in the light, are going to walk in the word, going to walk and be changed by the word, are going to make a rapture.
Right.
Because that's what's promised for them. But the other ones, if they do not follow the word, if they deny the word, and it only takes just a little bit.
Right.
Because if Eve only fell on one word, then how much more? Because you've got to follow all of the words. You've got to have all the word and walk in the fullness of the word.
Amen.
And walk in what God has called you to.
Yes. Right.
But the other thing that's required is you've got to have a desire for the Word, because if you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, then it desires the Word. And it desires for you to be drawn to the Word. And so you're going to walk in that. And even if you don't understand the Word, because, you know, it takes, it's a growth, as Brother Bob was talking about, you know, it's a growth that you've got to grow in this thing. But if you don't continue in it, that you're not ever going to grow. And so, you know, it's not, you know, you just something that you fall into, you know, because there's a growth that takes place and there's an overcoming that takes place, and you've got to continue in that. And see how even in the days of Jesus, when you see how, you know, he was talking about Caiaphas and the different ones. See, you know, they were there listening, and they actually seen the Word made flesh for their day. And they stood there, and he said, they turned the Word down. They scoffed at the Word that was made flesh before them. They had heard the Word. They had seen the Word, and they scoffed it. And he said they were standing in the temple when the crucifixion was taking place, and they're standing in the temple singing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there he was hanging on the cross, fulfilling the scripture that they're singing about.
Right.
And not realizing that they're living in the midst of the day of the fulfillment of the Word.
Right.
And they're missing that. And he said, see this, because he said it was predicted by the scriptures for them to be blind. Because it was the time, and see, it's the same thing happening today, is people are walking in the midst and being blind by it. Being standing in the midst of the Word, and the Word going forth from the ministry. And you're hearing the Word, and you're not catching the Word. And not realizing it's the Word for you. It's why you have to receive the Word. And your Brother Aaron was speaking of there when he was speaking of Noah's day, and he was talking about Noah ministering. And, you know, the earth, the world had come under judgment. And there was a judgment went forth. And listen, they were under a death sentence, and there was no way out. There was everybody. Listen, you're going to face this. There's no other way.
Right.
But God made a way of escape. God made a way for them to pass by that. But there was only one way made. And so when Noah had this, because God seen the wickedness of man, and he just said he was going to destroy the earth, and he was going to destroy all of the works that was therein. And when he gave Noah the message, and he said, now you got to build an ark. And he began to talk, you know, tell Noah about these things. But, you know, he was talking about the age in which Noah was living was such a great scientific age. And, you know, they had seen all of the things. And they had such great scientific knowledge and all that. And, you know, they could shoot this into the skies, and they were there, and they could prove that there was no moisture in the air. And, you know, how Brother Ram said how God, he watered the earth by the irrigation and all of that. And there was no water that ever came. The springs watered the earth. And, you know, there never was anything like this before. And here he is. Noah comes out here. This crazy man comes out and tells him, listen, the earth, it's going to rain. There's coming a destruction. Well, you know what? Nobody ever heard anything like this before.
Right.
I mean, this is a total new message, and we got this crazy man out here, and he's going to build this huge boat, you know, and he's going to put all these animals in it. And he's like, you know, and you know how we know that he went on all those 120 years of him preaching to his generation to tell them, listen, you're under judgment. And there's only one way out, and that's God's way. There's no other way that you're going to escape this. And, you know, and as he began to preach, and he began to put his faith in action and started building what God told him to do, was build that ark, and he began to build that. And, you know, every time, as we've many times been dramatized, but, you know, here they are. They come by, and all they're seeing is Noah building on an ark and keeps preaching the exact same thing. You're under judgment. You're under judgment. Are you going to accept God's way of escape? Or are you going to face this judgment? And, you know, he was out there building, and every time he came by, it's the exact same thing. You know, you got to repent or perish. You got to get ready. And, you know, he kept going through all of that, and, you know, he lived in that great scientific day in which he lived, and all the things that he had seen. Well, you know, there was nothing scientific that could prove what Noah said. There was nothing that gave them any any reason to believe anything that Noah said. There was nothing that was given, but they still, Noah preached that message. And he stood right there and he began to preach that the whole time. Listen, God's going to send rain. The water's coming from the skies. And it's like, well, how is this going to take place? It's like, there's no scientific way. Please explain that. Well, all I know is God said so. That's all I got is God said so, because God can do whatever he wants to. And it's like, well, but they couldn't believe that. It had never rained and all those type things. But he said, listen, it's going to rain, it's going to destroy the earth. He said, now you got to get ready. He said, because in all of this, you've got to get ready. There's only one way. And so Noah had his instructions, and he began to build all those things. And, you know, as the generations came along, you had one that was standing there, and Dad made fun of it. And it's like, hey, let's go by and see the crazy man. And Noah's out there building this ark. Well, you know, his sons were out there helping him. And, you know, but he spent all of those years building that. And, you know, and then it was just like, well, you know, the son comes along. And he's like, I follow in Daddy's footsteps. And it's like, hey, how's it going up there building your ark? And, you know, have you seen any rain yet? We ain't seen any clouds. But, you know, he kept preaching the same thing. And, you know, no doubt he had a lot of people that just, you know, out ridicule him the whole time about what he was doing. But, you know, it never deterred Noah from what he was preaching. It never deterred Noah from fulfilling the word of God. He just continued in building that ark and following the word of God. But, you know, there were a certain group in that. You know, they only got to the place where they stood around and listened. You know, there was a group that actually sat there and listened to Noah. And they were listening to his message, and he's out there saying, listen, you're under the death. You know, you're going to die if you don't accept this. And, you know, here they are, you know, you're under a death sentence. Well, you know, they just sat there and listened to him, yeah, but it never got them on the ark. You know, there was some that listened. Well, there was a lot of them that didn't listen to any of it, and they just, well, you know, he's just full of it, and, you know, we just let the crazies go, and you weren't worried about it. But, you know, there were some people that got halfway interested in what he had to say, but the problem was it never got to the place where they actually were sold out, to the place they actually got on the ark. Right. You know, they're like, well, you know, I just want to hang around close enough that maybe I can get on. But, you know, God said, listen, you've got to get on the ark when the door's open. Right. There's only one time that you're going to be able to get on that, and it's when the door is open, when the call's made. Yeah. Because when Noah built the ark and he started to call the animals and put the animals, and he began to get everything set for this happening to take place, for the flood to take place, when this began to happen, you know, it's so amazing that people began to see the signs and wonders, and it still didn't move them to the place where they actually received the word.
Right.
Well, how many other people can see the animals, all these animals lining up, walking up on the ark? Well, I'm sure that drew a crowd, that people wanted to see the spectacle, but you know what? It still didn't change their heart.
Right.
It still didn't move them to the place where they actually decided, you know what, there's something going on here. But, you know, here they are on standing on the outside looking. But, you know, when God told Noah, when he got all the animals on the ark, when he got everything set for this passage, that he closed the door and it was sealed. And people didn't realize that their destination had already been sealed. Their judgment had already been sealed. But those that had received the word had already got on the ark, and they were sealed in,
right,
away from the judgment.
Right.
But there was a group that was on the outside. Well, they were just standing there listening. And they thought, well, maybe there's another way. No, there's not another way.
Right.
You're not going to get a second chance. Because when they were sealed out, that was it. And, you know, there was lots of them that were trying to get in. When the rain started falling, oh, hey, look, it's the manifestation that Noah talked about all these years.
Yeah.
You know, here's Granddaddy was out talking about it, and Daddy was talking about it, and all the other ones been talking about it. All of a sudden, hey, guess what? It's coming to pass.
Yeah.
But by the time they realized that the judgment had started to fall, they were sealed out. Their doom had already been sealed.
Right.
Why? Because they missed their opportunity to bypass that.
Right.
And they're there, they're trying to get the door open. And Noah's like, listen, I didn't close the door. I didn't seal the door. God did.
Amen.
He was the one that made the way. He opened the door for all of you. And when he got done, he closed the door and it was sealed. And your judgment was sealed. And it's the same way today. God has made a way, and he's made an opening, and he calls to us. But the problem is if you don't do that, if you don't accept the day and hour in which you live, and when the door is opening, you don't know when the door is going to be closed.
Right.
We don't know when our time is going to be over with.
Yeah.
But the thing is if you miss your opportunity, then don't expect to have another opportunity because you've missed your day. Because
right.
Today is the day of salvation. You don't get another chance.
Right.
You only get one time.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God, because if Brother Bram said, if God calls a man one time, you know, he's just in what he's done.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old. It doesn't matter if you're 14 years old. It don't matter if you're 100 years old. Because if God calls you and makes it known to you and you don't accept it, then that's your judgment. But you've got to call when the day and, you know, the Lord may call multiple times. For you to come. And that's the grace of God that he calls.
Amen.
That he continues to call. But you've got to accept that.
Right. Amen.
See, Brother Ram said, it destroyed the world. God sent the water just the way he said. Why? It was the word of God said so. He said, science drowned and perished. He said, look, the very thing that saved Noah killed his critics. Did you know that? The very water. If there had been no water, Noah couldn't have been saved. The ark was the one that floated. So the very thing that floated the ark drowned the critic. And he said, the very Holy Spirit today that people are making fun of, it will save the church and condemn the critic. And the very same thing, what saves kills, what saves the believer condemns the unbeliever. That's right. So you see, have faith in God's word. That's one thing that you can stand on and know it's certain. What God says, it's certain. Just believe it.
Right.
So we see how the word had went forth and it made it. So it carried over what Noah, it brought him through. But you see here in the last days, there are people that are staying there and they're saying, well, you know, where is the sign of his coming? Because they don't realize that the judgment has already came. And they said, well, everything continues as it was. Well, it didn't continue as it was because there was already one group that came and had a way of escape made. The judgment had come to them and they didn't accept it. There was a group that accepted that judgment, the salvation that came in their day, but there was a group that didn't.
Right.
And it continues on today. And just like Brother Brown was talking about, you see the world. You know, Noah and his family went on the ark, but you know, when man came off because of the wickedness of their heart, when they came off the ark, well, you know what? It went right back to the same way. They were doing the exact same thing. Man went right back to the same way that he was doing before. He got, because God spoke to him and drove them in, but you know what? In time, they went right back away from God. He began to deal with them, but you know what? They went right back to their same old ways. And he had made a way for them. And see, because Brother was talking about the world, you know, it washed away all the things that were on the earth, all of the creation, all the things that man had built, and all of the humans that were here, all that was gone. But when they came back, you know what? They went right back to building the same thing, doing the same thing, and got away from it, what God had brought them to and trying to show them. And he said, why? Because, you know, that wasn't a change that took place, but it was showing God. Was showing what was coming,
right.
What was taking place. And see, so you come right back to these things, and people say, you know, when you're looking at justification, because, you know, the typing of the washing of the earth was a type of justification. He was like, you know, see, it doesn't do away with that inner man, because, you know, you still have the same desires that you had before. But you know, there's a, because God draws you and he brings you to a place and you accept what God does. And you know, then by justification, by accepting repentance for your sins, then you can be, then you're baptized. But that doesn't change who you are. But you know what? Because you still have the same desires, you're still fighting the same thing, the same way that the earth was going through, and you see how these things are. But see, you're still fighting those things, but you know, it was still, but God began to work through that, through the things that were taking place in the earth. And you see how the earth was flooded. The Brother Rams called it the baptism. But you see how these things take place. But you know, people don't see that there was something that was taking place. And you know, there became a change that was taking place. And you know, when Jesus came, when the prophets began to speak, and all the way down through time, you know, God began to deal with man, and he began to open, you know, reveal himself to the men, and began to express himself in all the things that all the prophets began to do and began to speak. They began to see God. Sometimes they didn't realize that's who it was, but you know, it was God in the prophets. It was God in Moses. It was God in Isaiah. It was God in Jeremiah and God in David began to speak to the people and began to show themselves. But you know, people didn't catch the opening of the word. They didn't catch God's manifestation in their day. Some people did, but some didn't. But you know, he began to open himself up and began to manifest, and began to, from the beginning, you know, he began to talk about what was going to take place. And here he is, how he was going to come, and he was going to bridge the gap back with man. And you know, all the promise that came of a Messiah and all that. And you know, here when Jesus came as the fulfillment of the word, and he began to walk the earth, and he began to preach the word that he preached was a claiming of the believer. Of the word came forth, he began to claim what was lost. He began to preach to the people, because that was a word that was going forth, that he was going to fulfill what was promised. And he said, because he began to speak, and when he began to speak, he was setting things in order for a group of believers to come to the place that he wanted them come to. Because, you know, he couldn't do that in the Old Testament, but there was a time that came when he began to manifest himself, that he began to show to the people what he wanted to do, what the Scripture had to say, what was the fulfillment of the Scripture for that day. And, you know, many people, they held on to the Old Testament and began to see, but they didn't see that when Jesus began to preach, he began to take the things from the Old Testament and began to open them up for the day and show them the day and hour which they were living, that here was the fulfillment of what the prophets had said, the things that David had said, and he began to show them, this is the day.
Amen.
And, you know, here he is, and he began to preach, and he began to tell them, listen, you know, there is a kingdom. He was setting up a kingdom that there was going to be a kingdom. It was going to be an eternal kingdom, but it was not in the same way that the disciples thought it was going to be. It was not going to be this earthly kingdom. He's not going to be fighting the Romans. He's not going to be going all that, but he said it's going to be a kingdom. It's going to be inside of you, and you're going to see these things, but you're going to have, but it's going to be a spiritual kingdom that you're going to come to. As he began to talk to him, he said, let not your heart, you know, don't be comfortless. Let your hearts be comforted by this. That, listen, he said, I'm not going to be with you always. He said, it's expedient that I go away, but I'm coming back in a way that I'm not going to be just with you, but I'm going to take up residence inside of you. I'm coming. He said, no, he said, because I will be with you, even in you, until the end of the age, until the end of the world. So when he began to talk to him about this, he began to teach him about this kingdom that was coming. Not this earthly kingdom and the things that were going on, but there was a spiritual kingdom, because that was what was important, because it's not what's down here, but there's going to be an afterlife after this, about this life that's going to take place after all this is gone. So it was more important, and that's what Jesus was trying to tell him. There is a kingdom that's coming. Because when you see this, you know, they're wanting to, you know, the disciples, and you know, they're trying to talk about this kingdom that's coming, that's going to be set up on the earth, and not realizing there was a whole different way that this was going to come into view. There was a different way that it was coming. Yes, there is going to be a kingdom set up on the earth, but it's not going to come the same way that y'all think it's going to come. There's a whole lot of things that y'all don't see, but Jesus began to preach to them and tell them about those things, and he began to teach them. And listen, this is what's going to take place. So, you know, we don't have to fight the Romans and all these type things. It's not an earthly battle.
Right.
It's a spiritual battle.
Right. Yes.
But, you know, even after, you know, when Jesus died, when he went to the cross and he rose again, and he's standing there and he begins to speak to him, and he's talking about going away to fulfill the scriptures. After he's begun to talk to him on the road to Emmaus and all the different things, talking to Thomas when he didn't believe and all those things that he began to do and began to speak to him about all those things that had taken place. When they had seen all these things, when they'd seen him raised from the dead and they'd seen the miracles that he had done, being able to walk through the walls and all those type things, and he began to tell them about this kingdom that was coming. He's like, are you going to take over now? He'd been trying to teach them that it's a spiritual kingdom. And now is the time that when we get past this, listen, I got to go away. But the Comforter's coming. Listen, I'm going to go away, but I'm coming back. And the Comforter's going to come inside you. And he's going to take up residence inside of you. And not only that, he's going to be a Comforter, but he's also going to bring to your remembrance the things that you've heard. The things that you've been taught. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. And as he was, you know, he spilled his blood and he sanctified the earth and he claimed it.
Amen.
But see, you know, as they were missing the whole point of what he was trying to do. But see, it's the same thing with you and I. Here he is trying to show us these things. And you know, here they are. They're missing out on the whole thing that he done. And here's Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he told them, he said, listen, he said, if you see me go away, he said, but tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high.
Right.
And so there was a lot more questions than they had answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they were in the upper room, and Jesus began to speak to them in the upper room, and he began to express the things that were going to take place, and he began to talk to them, and he began to break the bread with them, and he had communion, he began to wash their feet and all these things, and he began to teach these things to them and show them what's going to take place. But you know, he started to show them the heart of a servant and the love that he had for them. But he was trying to show them, listen, don't lose heart, don't be comfortless in this, because you know what, you're going to see a greater thing that's going to take place. But they missed it. You know, they got so downtrodden and lost and, you know, so sad because what was taking place, not realizing there was the exact fulfillment of God's word.
Right.
They're standing in the midst of the fulfillment of God's word and they're missing it.
Right.
And he goes, and if he goes to ascend and he tells them, listen, tarry and go and wait till the Holy Spirit comes and fulfills what he said he would do. And he comes, and so they go and tarry, and you know, well, we don't know what we're doing. We got more questions than we got answers. But all we know is what Jesus said. And it's like, well, we don't know. We're trying to hide from the Romans, and you know, we don't know what the world's going to take place, and you know, we're more scared, and you know, we don't know what to do. But you know what? They stood right where God told them to stand, where Jesus told them to stand. You know, and they're like, well, you know, we wait one day, wait 2 days, week. Well, what do we see? Nothing. But you know what? They continue to wait. I don't know how long we're going to have to wait, but we're going to wait. We're going to be right here waiting and tarrying and waiting until the fulfillment of the word come.
Amen.
And you know, and they thought, well, I think we've waited long enough. We might have waited long enough. I don't know. But like Peter said, you know, we're going to have to wait, because if it's something definite that Jesus said was going to take place, then guess what? When it fulfills, when you see the fulfillment of it, there's not going to be a question about it.
Right, right.
Now, it may be a question to everybody else, but if it comes to you, it's not going to be a question to you.
Right.
It's going to be an answer. It's going to be a fulfillment. It's going to be a confirmation to you that what took place. And so when they waited those 10 days, when they waited and the sound of a rushing mighty wind came down and it flooded the place and it landed upon, you know, set upon all of them, and they received the Holy Spirit,
right,
Then you know what? They didn't have a question of what was taking place, because that was a fulfillment, and it was an answer to them. It was a comfort to them, and it was a sign to them of what took place. And you know what? When they had that, all of a sudden, here they are, had great boldness with the word. Because the Holy Spirit began to lead them. Right. It was a fulfillment. It began to quicken the things that He had said to them. And so here they are, when they're standing there, all of a sudden, here they are acting like drunk men. 120 of them standing up there. Here they are acting drunk, and people wonder what's going on. And here's Peter standing there speaking of what was taking place. And he said, you know, he stood up with the 11, you know, he stood there and said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." And he said, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." It was a fulfillment of the word. Amen. Now, there was a lot of people, they didn't understand that. They didn't believe that. But when they staggered out, when Peter and them came out, and they began to preach the word that they had heard and began to tell them what was taking place, this is the fulfillment of the word. But you know what? There was no doubt many people that were there that heard the message. I'm sure, no doubt there was a large crowd of people. But you know what? There was only a certain group of people that actually received the word for their day. Right. We don't know how, we know there was the 5,000 that received it, but we don't know how many of that were there. How many that actually heard the word that was preached that day, and they began to, because here these people are standing there, and they're hearing the word being preached in their own language. Here it is, they're understanding it, because not all of them could speak the same language, but all the message that went forth, they were hearing it in their own tongue. Amen. They began to understand what was being preached that day. And they began to receive what was preached and began to understand, and they began to accept it. And they, because as Peter began to preach, you know, it said, you know, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, just believe it. Yeah. Right. Just make sure you just get in a line and tell everybody, "I believe what the apostles preached. I'm part of that upper room movement. I'm going to get me a belt buckle that says the upper room movement." No, because when they were pricked in their hearts by what the word said, he said, "What did they say? What was they said? Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Would just follow us. Just say, "Well, I believe it." No, he said, "Repent." Yeah, right. Well, what does it mean to repent? It means to turn from your ways and realize that this is a move of God, and I've not been walking in the ways of God, and now I can repent of my sin and realize I'm a sinner. And he said, "Repent and follow the way that God has called you." And he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And he said, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But see, the problem is that because they had to realize what the word had come to them, and it quickened something to them that they had to fulfill that. And because they had faith in what the apostles had said, they went out there and they began to repent, and they were baptized. And they baptized 3,000 souls in one day. Like somebody was trying to do the math, and it's like, well, if you got 12 people and you're baptizing 3,000 people, that's like several hundred people. One person's baptizing. And I don't know how many more there was, but you know, there's 120 in the upper room. You know, half of them men, you know, there's 60 men, 3,000, that's what, 50? So, I mean, you know, here they are preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit's fallen. You have this supernatural meeting taking place. And then the rest of the afternoon, you're out there baptizing people. Amen. But see, it was something that took place, but that was the word of God that had broke to them. And it began to move, and they began to see these things. And see, they began to walk in those things. Yeah, right. And it became real. And all of a sudden, the things that Peter had wondered about, the things that the apostles had heard that Jesus said, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was there to quicken these things to them. Right. And all of a sudden they began to be able to preach the things that they had heard, the things that they had seen. Amen. And all of a sudden here they are preaching the gospel. And see, it's the same way with you and I. See, when you come to that place, when you realize that the Word has come to you and it's yours and you've received this message. Yeah. And it's yours, and you realize, hey, you know what? I've got to make a change because, you know, because you come to a place. I had to come to a place in my life, you know, I know, Lord, I can't live like this anymore.
Right.
I had to make a change. I didn't want to live like this anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, I couldn't change myself. I couldn't change the situation that I was in. Yeah. But you know what? God made a way because all I had to do is accept Him and yield myself to Him and surrender to Him that He can do the work.
Amen.
Because that's the main thing. Can you surrender and realize I'm just going to put my hands, but myself and everything in your hands, Lord, and you do the work.
Right.
And let you do this. But I'm going to put my trust in you.
Amen.
And realize, hey, just like the disciples, just like Peter, all, you know, they done things wrong. They failed. Mm-hmm. They were men. And you have to do the same thing. We're just humans. We're going to fall. We're going to have problems. We're going to have setbacks. But see, the thing is you've got to come to the place and realize this is what God has called you to, and you're going to face this thing, and you have a desire to do this, and you have a desire to do it. And you're going to do with what you can, and you got to press into this thing.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you know, you see things because. If you have a desire for something, you know what? You got to fight. You've got to press into this thing.
Amen.
Right.
You know. You know. I'm gonna tell on myself a little bit, but Richard said I don't ever tell nothing about myself. I always tell everything on him. But I think Richard's stories are a lot better than mine.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just tell them better. But you know, I had people at work when. Just recently, you know, I had people come to me at work and, you know, they asked me, are you okay? Are you all right? You know, because they were like, well, what's wrong with you? You're not the same person that you used to be. Said, you used to be, you were the, you know, everything, no matter what went wrong, every problem, whatever. Said, you was the ray of sunshine around here. You was always positive. Everything was great. It's like, why? But it's like, are you? We're just checking on your mental health. Are you okay? And the problem is this. And I finally, you know, because because you get aggravated with things.
Right.
And the problem is when you work a job I said, well, I've been here over 11 years. I said, there was always a standard that we had. There was always an expectation of things that had to be done and the way things had to be done. There's an expectation, and there was an accountability that we had to go through and all these things. And I said, the problem is everybody's got away from that. I said, because now there's no standard. There's no expectation. There's no accountability to anything. And I said, all of a sudden, then you start to see, well, if you don't have an expectation, if you don't have an accountability to things, then you know what? Things don't get done. The first thing you don't, because nothing can run right, because you've got to have a leader and you've got to have an expectation and you've got to have a standard that you're going to work from, and everybody's got to meet that standard. And if you don't have people meeting the standard, then you know what? Nothing gets done. Because you know what? Not everybody can just float along. Because you know what? Everybody's got a part to play, and everybody's got to do their part. And then you may not be what this person is or what that person is, but you've got to do what you're called to do. It's your job to do your part, because I can't do my part and your part and expect everything to run right. And there's people that you hire new people in, but you know what? You've got to come on the job and be ready to learn and have the understanding. Listen, I don't know everything, and I'm not a know-it-all. But the problem is you've got to be to the place that you're willing to learn. And you've got to be willing to be taught what needs to be done. And you've got to realize that when the job is given to you, when the order is given to you, then you know what? You've got to do it to the best of your ability. And you can't just halfway do something and expect it to be okay. And I got frustrated with a lot of people, because the problem is we're not holding the standard. I said, because when I got here, I said it was an expectation of what had to be done. and how it had to be done. And I said, now everybody just lets everything go however, and then we just clean up the mess. And I said, this is not the way this is supposed to be run. And I let my feelings get known, and I had to go back and apologize to them, and I did. But the problem is like, listen, if this is the way it's got to be done, then you know what? We've got to hold the standard. And if the Word of God is the standard in which we operate and the way we live our lives and everything operates off of this, then you know what? Either we sell out and we do this exactly the way God says it, or we just quit and go home. Because that's exactly what I told them at work. I said, well, we're either going to do it right or we might as well just go home. Because you know what? It's not going to, because you can only run this so far, and then after that, it all runs into the ground. And I told them, I said, listen, I care about my job. But you know what? And everybody said, well, it's just a job. It's just a job. No, no. Because the Bible tells me, now I may be wrong, but the Bible tells me that whatever we do in word or deed, we do it as unto the Lord.
Right.
So tell me where I can go to a job and get paid for it. Just like, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah. Yeah. And everybody's like, well, you know, then it's like, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, listen, let me tell you what you do. From the beginning, you start off right.
Right.
You start doing it right from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you stay that way, then, when you finish, it'll be right.
Right.
Just like Brother Gary back there building something. You know, if you say, well, eighth of an inch here is okay, quarter of an inch there, a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, you know what? Nothing's ever going to work out right. Because there's only so much that you can deviate. But you know, you've got to hold it to the line. And it's got to match up all the way through, because you can't just cut corners here or there, because when you get to the end, then you've got a mess on your hand because nothing's going to work right.
Right.
And it's the same way with the Word of God. You know, all you got to do is start right. Is that what Brother Bram said? You know, you start right, you go right, you continue right. He said you end up right.
Amen.
And that's all you got to do is continue in the way that God made.
Amen.
So when God made the way, He put it in the order, and all we got to do is continue that way.
That's right.
But that's what God is expecting us. God doesn't expect us to, you know, He realizes that you're human, you're going to have faults and failures. But the thing is you've got to come back to the same place. Listen, if you fall and you fail, you have sin, whatever, guess what? You go right back to the place where you came from. You pick yourself up. You repent. You get back up. You dust yourself off and you get going again. Because you can't stop. Because that's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to get to a place and, you know, you get to a place where you're just having a pity party. God, you know, God wants you to go.
Yes.
Why? Because the blood has been shed, and it'll cover all your sins. It'll take care of everything. And He's always there with open arms. I've never seen Him yet in my lifetime when I have fallen, when I had a need, that He wasn't there waiting on me to come to the place that I needed.
Amen.
Because lots of times I tried to do things in my own self, and I went away from Him. But you know, He was always waiting on me to come back to where He was at.
Amen.
When I came back to the Word, when I came back to a place of repentance, He was waiting on me. See, if we can do that and realize what God's done for us. God's made a way. See, if you come to that and realize, see, God has brought the Word to us. He's called us to this day. The day and hour which we live, the Word has come for our day. He spoke to each one of us. See, what a great and glorious day that we live in. That God's Word came. It's for us that, as the Scripture said, healing, the Word, Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, these Scriptures, you know, they don't mean a lot to the world. There's a lot of people that don't understand those things. But you know, blessed are your eyes, for they see.
Right.
Blessed are our eyes because they see, because it came to our for our day. That we begin to see these things and understand, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. So these things were given to us for us to understand and receive these things. See, the word is went in our day. What did he say? See, the message came to us in our day to understand what was taking place. It was a fulfillment of the word. That we realize that today is the day of salvation. And he began to speak to these things. You realize what's taking place, and you know, people have missed the day and hour that of the Lord. And you know, as the scripture says here, as we were reading in the beginning, he said, "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night." You know, because you realize, you know, it's a secret coming, and you realize that God is speaking to each person individually. But he's calling a bride. You know, as Brother Randall was speaking there, you know, when he was talking about, you know, the shout. You know, the shout was a message that went forth. It was a message that went, and you know, it was to those people. It's not to the world, but there's a group of people that's predestinated to that. Right. And it's to them that they catch the voice. Amen. They catch the message is to them. Yeah. Right. And blessed are you and I because we have received that message. And realize that this is the day and hour. See, as they were saying in the beginning, see, things continue as they were. They're not continuing as they were. See, God has been changing and moving, and he's begun to unveil himself. And there's many people that have heard these things, but you know, it wasn't to them. And you look through Brother Branham's ministry, and he began to speak, and he, you know, through the healing ministry and everything, and he began to preach a message to the people. And he began to show them the word. Amen. And he began to show them the errors of their ways. Or the denominations and all the things that were taking place. He began to point them back to the scripture. And show them this is the fulfillment of the word. Of what was taking place. And yet they turned him down. Because it was, because here they want to hang on to their own denomination. They want to hang on to their own beliefs, their own thoughts. And here he was, and you know, here he began to preach and began to show them all these things and show them what was taking place. Yes. But there was a group of people, they turned down and walked away from these things. But there was a group of people that began to hear the word and realize that was eagle's food to them. It was a word to them. It was what they were longing for. That's right. And they began to catch on to these things and realize this is the day and hour. This is my word. Because when he said, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet," it became personal to them. To receive, this is personal to me. This is what I believe. This is the word to me that I'm walking in this. I receive this as the word and realizing that what it's doing is it's changing me. Amen. So when you see these things, when they say, "Well, you know how things are taking place," but I realize that all this is supposed to take place. We're supposed to have scoffers. We're supposed to have those that, you know, because in our midst, we're supposed to have the, as Brother Bob was talking about, listen, we're supposed to have false anointed ones. We're supposed to have all these things take place. But as Brother Bob was preaching, you know, we realize all these things are supposed to take place. But he said, Jesus told us that the elect cannot be deceived. But it's supposed to be so close that it could deceive the very elect to see the condition and hour in which we live. But you know what? The word is coming our day to show us where we're standing and for us to be fortified behind the word to realize in the day and hour in which we live that you know what? We cannot be deceived. Because it brings us to a place to realize who we are, where we're standing. And we catch these things and realize, because if God was the one that brought us to this place, Brother Bob, if he started us on this journey and he's brought us to this place, then you know he's going to carry us all the way. Amen. That he's going to take us all the way through. Yes, because I didn't start on this journey on my own. I can't keep myself in this way. It's because of him. Amen. I put my trust in him because he showed me what to do. And if we realize it's just that childlike faith to realize that we just hold on. Right. Amen. But you know, what will God do for us? As you begin to receive the word, you become the word. Yeah. As Brother Bob was talking about, you begin to realize who you are. You begin to see who you are. And you begin to see your position in Christ. Yeah. And you begin to grow in Christ. And things begin to open up more to you. And you begin to see these things. And what a wonderful time when you begin to see the things that are taking place and you understand where you're living.
Yes.
And you know, it is such a wonderful thing because you realize that when the more God reveals to you and the more He shows you who you are, you realize how low you are, how little you are. It makes Him everything. Because there's nothing good in you. But what a wonderful job that He's done in us to bring us to this place. I'm so glad that He's brought me to this place. That I could put my trust in Him and realize, hey, it won't be much longer.
Right.
We'll have the musicians come. But we realize, let's all stand. But we realize it won't be much longer. God is bringing us to a place that we're going to see the fulfillment of these things. I'm looking forward to it. To see all these wonderful things that God has promised to us. See, when you see the condition that the world has gotten into, we know what's going to take place. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about the condition that the world is getting into, and all these things, but God made us a promise, and you know. Brother Ram said, we've seen all of these things, he had seven visions, and he was talking about the seven visions of the things that's taking place. And, you know, he said that last vision that he saw America burn over. He said it was a smoldering ash heap. It's done. It's finished. There was nothing left. You know, and here's everybody, what about my 401k? And what about my house? And what about this? And what about that? And it's like, listen, you're fighting over cannon fodder. It's going to be gone. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, we just thought, well, we're not going to have a house. We're just going to live like nomads or whatever. No, you've got to live. But the thing is you've got to have priorities. You know what? God's fed me every day of my life. He's clothed me every day of my life. I've had a roof over my head. It's kind of odd in there sometimes, but we did have a roof over our head the whole time. But you know, God's always taking care of us. But you know what? One of these days, all this is going to be gone. We don't have to worry about all of this. Because you're not going to take it in the rapture with you. Thank God, you know, it's like, listen, you know, we worry about electronics and all these different things, but you know, I always tell them, thank God that there won't be cell phones and there won't be radios on the other side. When we get out of here, there'll be a day that, you know what, we won't need cell phones anymore. We won't need radios. We won't need all this stuff. All of it had its purpose, and thank God for it, but you know what, there's a time all this is going to be done away with. But what's the most important is the kingdom of God and His word. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, because there in Peter, you know, he is speaking at the end. You know, he's talking about the earth being destroyed, and he said that there comes a day when, you know, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and all this is going to be done away with. And we realize, you know, Brother Raymond talking about the earth will not be destroyed, but all the effects and all the things on it and all these things where man has touched will be destroyed. And it'll go back to the way it was. And so we see how all these things are going to take place, but realizing, you know, all this is going to be done away with, but you know, it's all going to be made new. And we don't have to worry about it. It's going to be a wonderful time to realize we're going to be right back where we were on this earth. And all the sin and all the filth and all these things are going to be done away with.
Amen.
As he was told, Brother Ram was talking about, you know, he was making the earth a fit place to live. Just like he made you and I a fit place.
Amen.
To be a habitation, the temple of God. And what a wonderful thing we're going to realize all this is going to be done away with. And when the world's coming into a place and you see all of the condition the world's going to be in, chaos and turmoil, hey, when the bride's gone, there's no place to be. But you know what? We're going to be leaving. God's made a way for us. What a wonderful thing to realize. I'm going to be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be gone. I won't have time to say goodbye. I'm going to be gone. Like that song says, oh, it might be while I'm singing a song. I'm going to be gone and it won't be long. I'm going to be gone. One of these days, it's going to be a reality. And that's my desire. I want that to be, I'm looking forward. I want to be, like Bob was saying, be so sold out to God. This is the most important thing. The word. I want to be changed by the word. I want to be so sold out. There's nothing in this world that can hold me. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
For a long time I've traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, instead I sang to the Lord. Then I heard about Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. And I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame, I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. In the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. And I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. This world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. And I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way.
Amen. Aren't you glad He showed you the way?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you this evening before we go. We want to remember Sunday. Very important. We're going to eat. First, we're going to eat spiritually, and then we're going to eat naturally. And make sure you bring all your goodies, because we want to try them.
Right, Sister Esther? Very good. But God bless you this evening. And I know Brother Waits went over the list multiple times, but I think hopefully everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing, bringing. So let's be looking forward to that. And remember the ones that are, Brother Wade's not with us and traveling and different things. And y'all just remember the different ones that are out. Just continue to hold each other up. But looking forward to being back on Sunday. And before we dismiss, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time we've been able to gather around your word, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you just help us, Lord, as we look unto the word, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we just draw closer to you and, Lord, become more like you, Lord Jesus. You do the work. Lord, mold us in your image, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe your word, Lord Jesus. We realize that we're living in a late hour, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we've been called by your word to this. And Lord Jesus, we want to walk in what you've called us to. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the work that you've done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's many that are scoffers, Lord. There's many that don't believe, Lord. But Jesus, you've come to us and revealed yourself, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. And Father, we just pray as we leave tonight, Lord Jesus, Lord, let us meditate on your word, Lord Jesus, and speak to us all the way. Lord, as we prepare to come back on Sunday, Lord, we just pray that you be with us and lead us and guide us. Be with our pastor, Lord Jesus. And Lord, give him the words that we need. And Lord, just strengthen him and touch him. And Lord, there's Sister Johnny and the different ones, Lord, there's many that are not with us that need a touch from you. We just continue to hold them up, Lord. Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, everything that we do will be pleasing to you. Lord, we commit all things to you. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.